My first game at Duke was against North Carolina. Carolina had James Worthy and Sam Perkins and Al Wood on the court, and Dean had already gotten a commitment from a high school senior we knew was pretty good named Michael Jordan. A year later, with Jordan, they were national champions. We were 10-17, the worst record in Duke history. In my third year at Duke, we had improved from 10-17 to 11-17. We lost our last game that season to Virginia, 109-66. A lot of Duke people thought I was going to make a great coach, back at Army, where they thought I belonged. A year later, we went 24-10. We beat North Carolina in the ACC tournament and ended up losing to Washington in the NCAA tournament. In 1986, we made it to the Final Four and beat a great Kansas team to get to Monday night. We lost that championship game to Louisville, 72-69, and if there is a game in my career I look back on with regret, it's that one. Those four kids, Dawkins, Allery, Bylus, and Henderson, deserved to win the national championship. I think they know that the three national championships we've won since would not have happened if not for them. That's why I honestly believe they have been national champions, because 1991, 1992, and 2001 could not have happened if not for 1986. That 1986 team began a run that, as I look back on it now, was remarkable. We went to 7 Final Fours in 9 years. Now, when I walk around at a Final Four, I'm constantly reminded how lucky you have to be to get to one. To get to one, you have to have a number of ingredients. You have to have been able to recruit very good players. You have to have a very patient family. You need excellent assistance. And you need luck. You need to keep key players healthy, and most of the time you need to win at least one game that you probably deserve to lose. Every time we've made the Final Four has been a thrill. When we didn't go for 4 straight seasons, it made getting back in 1999 that much sweeter. What I have come to realize is that you don't have to sulk when your team doesn't make the Final Four. There is too much about the weekend to enjoy, even when you aren't coaching. Organizing a dinner for my former players and coaches is one of the better things I've done during my coaching career. It's a lot of fun, and it gives me a chance to spend time with guys who have been an important part of my life. What's best about it, though, is some years I will coach my team, other years I will drink wine with my team, but one way or the other, I'll always have my team with me. That's a pretty good deal for an old coach.
Chapter 1. One Shining Moment. Coach Roy Williams had thought about it, planned it, even talked about it. He had told his children that when the moment came, he knew just what he was going to do. Throw his arms up in the air and walk around the court, arms upraised in victory. But now, with the moment finally at hand, he knew that wasn't going to happen. He was looking at the clock and then the court and then the clock. He saw one final shot go up, knowing that even if it went in, it wouldn't change the outcome. It missed, and North Carolina center Sean May had the ball in his hands. And then there was bedlam. Williams had the sense that celebrations were breaking out all over the court, that his players were diving on top of one another, giving full vent to the emotions that had been pent up inside them for an entire basketball season. At that moment, one that he had waited so long for, the thought of raising his arms in triumph never crossed Williams' mind. There was an unshakable feeling of complete satisfaction. May found him before he could find Illinois coach Bruce Weber. He had a huge grin on his face, the kind of pure joy rarely seen in elite athletes. Williams was tingling as he hugged May, but he couldn't linger. He got untangled and began shaking hands with the kids in the orange and white Illinois uniforms. These were faces he had seen before, the blank stares that come when someone has put a lifetime into achieving something and been right on the doorstep of that achievement, only to see it slide away. "New Orleans," he said. "I saw the faces of my Kansas players in New Orleans right after we lost to Syracuse. I wanted to say, I know how you feel, because I did. But I knew it would be meaningless." He settled for congratulating them on their season and on a great game. He knew they didn't hear a word he was saying. He found himself looking for Bruce Weber.